The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
And so it flows. Your only show for H2O. I'm your super water man, ambassador for water, here at WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Super psyched to be here, providing you water consciousness straight from the Berkshires to all around the world.
In the abundance of water, fool will get thirsty.
We're going to have a really great conversation today with David Todd, who's going to be having a conversation regarding regenerative real estate. And we'll get to the what of it and the bring it down to everyday speak. Really excited about that opportunity and its impact on H2O and what it actually means for the real estate industry and those people who are catching up with this new and emerging trend in real estate. Super psyched to be here with you. I got a couple of tunes coming your way. We got some news about the impact of plastic masking. You know, that pandemic masking that is now gone and the impact it actually has on our water. You got some other really good poetry coming your way, all about the water consciousness. But why don't we start with a little bit of music from my friend Tiff Randall, also known as I Am Eve. Here we got with Throw Me a Line. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
There's nothing set an open course for the virgin sea. 'Cause I've got to be free. Free to face a life that's ahead of me. On board, I'm the captain. So climb aboard. We'll search for tomorrow on every shore. And I'll try, oh Lord, I'll try to carry on. We had, we lived happily forever, so the story goes, but somehow we missed out on the pot of gold. But we'll try best that we can to carry on.
Sang.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. That was Come Sail Away by the Styx. Admittedly, quite an interesting and some say odd song, but it is actually culturally relevant because it's quite escapist in its roots. Lyrically, the song uses sailing as a metaphor to achieve one's dreams. The lyrics touch on nostalgia of childhood, friends, escapism, and a religious thematic symbolized by a gathering of angels singing a song of hope. I think that's actually quite relevant for today's times. You just check in with yourself and see if that's true. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, a culturally relevant show for shifting the culture from one of death and pestilence to one of life itself and regeneration. Psyched today, going to be having a conversation with David Todd. David studies and is a consultant in the world of regenerative real estate, and we're going to get down to what does that mean, my friend? Because in the world of bringing in new things, making it basic is really part of the game and part of the communication. A little bit of water news coming your way from the water blog at watercelebration.us. And this one is titled, Water Pollution Crisis Created by Pandemic Masking.
Those plastic-based face coverings have also been a water pollution disaster in the making. Single-use masks were the mascots of the pandemic, lockdown generation. And now the masks are one of the biggest water pollution issues of our time. Since the very first lockdowns of 2020, those plastic-based face coverings have also been an environmental disaster in the making. With the now discredited public health authorities saying that people needed to stem the tide of the pandemic with mask use, single-use plastic-based masking turned into a panacea. However, now we are faced with an onslaught of plastic, heavy metal and microplastic water pollution. Face masks waste can now be observed everywhere as massive river, ocean and lake pollution. For the first 2 years of the pandemic alone, the global population threw away over 129 billion face masks every month, or roughly 3 million masks in every minute. This is a conservative estimate, the numbers can be higher. Discarded face masks have seeped into each nook of our lives, from city sidewalks to solemn niches of parklands, forests, streams, rivers, lakes, and ocean beaches. Single-use masks have washed up on the shorelines of Hong Kong's Soko Islands and have smothered sea life off the coast of Western Europe. Scientists and environmental advocates expressed alarm about this tsunami of waste, from the beginning of the ill-advised lockdowns and over-the-top pandemic response. Environmental activists foresaw the dire ecological ramifications of the monumental waste of single-use face masks, especially once the masks made their inevitable way into our Earth's waterways. Masks pose entanglement dangers for turtles, birds, and other animals. Fish could devour the plastic fiber ribbons that unfurl from a discarded mask. Then, there is the untold threat to human fitness that would happen, on the microscopic level, once masks and plastics begin to dissolve into microplastics, get into our food supply, our drinking water, and our bodies. According to John Hosevar, the Greenpeace USA Oceans Campaign Director, the plastics industry saw COVID as an opportunity. The plastics industry worked tirelessly to lobby politicians and the general public that reusable masks are dirty and dangerous, and that single-use plastic masks are necessary to keep us secure. The plastics industry was lying for profit. And now, we have a self-inflicted environmental disaster on our hands. Dr. Sarprasarp, a chemical engineering professor at Swansea University in Wales, led a contamination study that examined 9 face masks. After submerging the masks in H2O for a short period, permitting them to take a soak. After the soak, Sarp and his team discovered micro and nanoplastic particles released from each one. Effectively, the masks combined with H2O and created a toxic soup. The toxic soup had nanoparticles of silicon, heavy metals like lead, cadmium, copper, and arsenic, According to Dr. Sarpra Sarp, the toxic soup from the study can potentially disrupt entire marine food chains and contaminate the world's drinking water. Nanoparticles of plastic, silicon, or other materials are so tiny in size that they could breach cell walls and harm DNA, affecting each human and non-human existence forms on the cellular stage. A crisis of unintended outcomes. As the demand for face masks surged, so did the production of single-use disposable masks. Unfortunately, many of these masks end up in our rivers, lakes, and oceans, posing a significant threat to aquatic life and ecosystems. The materials used in these masks, such as polypropylene, take hundreds of years to decompose, leading to long-term pollution in our waterways. Moreover, the improper disposal of face masks exacerbates the problem. Many people simply toss their used masks on the ground or in the trash, where they can easily be carried by wind or rain into storm drains and eventually make their way into bodies of water. Once in the water, these masks can entangle marine animals, causing harm and even death. The impact of pandemic face masks on water pollution is not to be underestimated. Studies have shown that an estimated 1.56 billion face masks entered the oceans in 2020 alone, further adding to the already dire state of marine pollution. The presence of these masks not only harms marine life but also contaminates the water with harmful chemicals and microplastics, posing a threat to human health as well. #... The video below shows why environmental activists are sounding the alarm on face mask pollution.
I order you to be quiet!
Who do you think he is?
I'm your king!
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
In the long, hot, thirsty summer of about 32 A.D., along a dusty highway there came a man of Galilee. And as he went through Samaria, he stopped at Jacob's well. And there he met a woman whose deep secrets he would tell. "Could I have a drink of water?" soft and quietly asked he. And she said, "Sir, I am Samaritan. How dare you speak to me?" He said, "If you would ask of me, then I, the Son of Man, would give you living water and you'd never thirst again. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Dip into the endless well, pour it on the fires of hell. Have a drink and sing and shout as the flames of hell go out. Have a drink of water, everlasting, endless water." Then the woman said, "Sir, you have no way to draw out of this well. Our father Jacob dug it, and the stories it could tell. From this well drank his children and his cattle by the score. Where is your well, sir, tell me, that will flow forevermore?" And he answered and said unto her, "Your water will go dry, and my well is everlasting. If you drink, you'll never die. My Father God's a spirit, and he sent me unto men to give you living water so you'll never thirst again. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Dip into the endless well, pour it on the fires of hell. Have a drink and sing and shout as the flames of hell go out. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water." Well, there now are many thirsting in this modern century, whose thirst could be quenched quickly by the man from Galilee. For the water flows eternal from the well that never dries, for it flows right out of heaven where the soul will never die. So if you're hot and tired and thirsting, and if you crave a cool tall drink, he will pour it right out for you a lot quicker than you think. He already knows you're thirsty, so just let him come on in, and he'll give you living water, and you'll never thirst again. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water. Dip into the endless well, pour it on the fires of hell. Have a drink and sing and shout as the flames of hell go out. Have a drink of water, everlasting living water.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water here at WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio, bringing you water consciousness from the Berkshires to around the world. Water is a culture, water beyond the cup. That's what we do. We keep people wet, and we keep them in the loop. We're going to be talking in just a couple of minutes with a friend of the show, David Todd. Be speaking a little bit on regenerative real estate and what that really means. But before we go there, here's a little bit of a poem by Ocean Vuong. Ocean is a celebrated Vietnamese poet, and his poem, Toy Boat, honors Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old killed by police in Cleveland, Ohio in 2014. Toy Boat, featured in Time is a Mother, the poem explores youth, tragedy, and transformation.
Toy Boat, for Tamir Rice. Yellow plastic, black sea, eye-shaped shard on a darkened map. No shores now to arrive or depart. No wind but this waiting, which moves you as if the seconds could be entered and never left. Toy boat, oarless, each wave a green lamp outlasted. Toy boat, toy leaf dropped from a toy tree, waiting, waiting, as if the sparrows thinning above you are not already pierced by their own names.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Really psyched to have in studio David Todd. Say hi, David, to our water-loving listeners around the world.
Hello, water-loving listeners. That rolls off the tongue, Leslie.
Yeah. Bring the mic a little closer to you. Okay, great. Maybe about 2 inches away. Okay, great. So, David, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you're up to, and really, in a nutshell, what is regenerative real estate?
Well, one thing, I'm a licensed realtor, so I am in real estate as a broker, helping people buy and sell real estate.
Okay.
So that's like the fundamental base level that I operate on. And then it's much more, because what I do is bring in community development, really very process-oriented work, things that go way outside the transaction into relational real estate. So regenerative real estate would probably be better understood as relational real estate.
So what do you mean by that?
You think about how transactions are. You want it to just like you buy and sell and you're done with it. And that's fine. And it's functional. It helps you get into a new home and make a transition. But to really have a healthy home and feel really supported in your home, it helps to be connected to your neighbors, to your land, to your community at large. Your water. So, yeah, with water, like, I was curious how we can weave this in, because it's vast.
I mean, land is part of it.
Yeah, okay. Of course. And a lot of things I'll do with people is when they buy land, is understand how does water impact you living here? And what does it mean to be a steward of this place and maintain it, with recognition that water is flowing through from rain, snow, ice.
Or they may have a wetland right behind them.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, again, relational, because you're starting to see that I'm related to this place and I care for it. And I want this wetland to be the resilient ecosystem that it has been for hundreds of years.
Kind of like Mother Nature's filter. And don't put like a dump there.
No, it's doing the heavy lifting for our ecosystem.
Exactly.
So to really notice that you're in relationship with that, and what you do matters in relation to that. So again, regenerative real estate is basically like realizing how related and interconnected we are. And it could go as simple as my lawn, my garden is uphill from that wetland, and what I do here will end up there. And it's going to have to do a lot more work if I'm pouring Roundup and glyphosate-based products that are then in that water system forever.
Or if you pave it and it causes
correct
a landslide or, so, you know,
with wet weather. With every decision you make, it's just starting to integrate all the decisions, all the different things you're relating to and connected to in that. That things are not disconnected like we think they are. You can just pave it and it's not going to have an impact downstream.
It makes a lot of sense. So, okay. So I get it. So creating relationship with the earth and water and our neighbors and, you know, how you treat your new property. So why? Why do you think that's important? Like, why did you do it? Why did you start getting involved in this type of what I'm calling a shift of how we relate, or a shift in the paradigm that people use, which is essentially a shift in how we see it and relate with it. Why? What got you motivated?
I think each person can identify a time in their life where they were awestruck, where they saw something so miraculous and amazing. And a lot of times that could be a mountain, a river, an ocean, a massive tree, just this ancient tree. And to be in connection with that amazing being, that living life force, and just think like that I'm related to that, like my breath is a part of that ecosystem, and just start to have an intimate connection and care for the beauty of that and the miracle of that just comes from a foundation of care. So then, what do I do with that? I could be a policymaker. I could be a poet and write about it. I could be a songwriter and write about it, inspire people to care and draw a connection to these amazing things in the world.
Or I could simply take care of it, not cut it down.
Or I could, yeah, I could just leave it alone. And like, how many things can we do with less ambition that just lead us, you know, from doing things that we regret when we cause more harm than good?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I know for me, when my I was 5 years old living in a summer home in the Catskills, and what I remember is this weeping willow tree, and I remember this babbling brook. And I would just lie down by the tree, covered with the shade, and I said, I just felt wow. Like, wow, this is like peace. And so that started some relationship. So in the world of regenerative real estate, relational real estate is being related. Okay, so how do you see the current paradigm of real estate? And this is not about making things wrong. It's more like, how do you see it? Like, as someone who practices the way you do.
The current and the prevailing form of real estate is very transactional and extractive. It's how do I get the most value out of this for me? And how does my home become my most valuable investment? And it's really for my benefit. When I also care about that place and nature, like how do we transition away from purely extractive measures of like, how do I get value?
Like and monetary value.
Yeah, monetary value.
Yeah.
And then think in more holistic and inclusive terms of like, I care about actually that my neighborhood is beautiful as it is now in 50 years or 100 years. How do we just have a longer horizon of value and think about our children and grandchildren, the world they're going to inherit, and how I care for it now is directly impacted and connected to their experience. And do they have that same benefit of being able to lie by that babbling crook 50 years from now and just slip into that wonder and that dream and feel like this world supports me. Okay. This is so alive.
This is a really great conversation, because in the world of real estate, there's something called affordable housing. Mm-hmm. In my experience, affordable housing usually is really devoid of that beauty, that ability to say, I love this place, I want to be here forever. It's sometimes cut and dry, sometimes the design is really, let's slap this stuff together, right. And the relationship could be, I don't know if it is for everyone, I'm not going to blanket it, but like, how can the contractor and the designer and the architect get beyond just like, hey, how can we slap this baby together, be one and done? And is that something you see as well? Do you actually have conversations with builders and with the vendors in the real estate world that they can then say, you know, even if I'm not of higher means, Can I design a place that I would want to be, rather than, hey, let's just stick these poor people over here?
It's tricky. Yeah, absolutely. And I think the most effective processes are those that take the path of an integrative design process, where they're including the municipality and the residents, the people who are actually going to occupy and hopefully love this place, ecologists, landscape architects, artists, the downtown small business bureau, and like, how does this place connect to its greater whole, the place that it's a part of? So this neighborhood that's being built for affordable housing, how does it connect to the surrounding houses, to the surrounding wilderness that might be nearby? Does it even design with an intention towards connectivity? Does it connect to downtown and feel like people have a sense of belonging, like the downtown connects to them and doesn't exclude them from commerce and ecology and the other thriving elements of the community?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, because one of the things I see, I know a little bit of Spanish, so one of the things I see in this in kind of like basic slang, or not even slang, but just a way of speaking, like allá, over there, a lot of housing that is of lesser monetary value gets put over there. Not over here, but over there. So there's a saying called Aya, which basically, yeah. Over there. How about that? I mean, you were just speaking to that. You're like, we put the lower cost housing over there without access to transportation or access to a downtown area or access to a garden, a yard, or a stream, a relaxation area, a place to play.
Yeah, that all speaks to our disconnection again. Like, it's not really recognizing our real relatedness. So there are a couple ways to go. That same aya is the same we do with trash. We're throwing it away. It's the same kind of thing. It's over there. It's out of sight, out of mind. And it's a feeling that we can disconnect and fragment ourselves when it's not true. We're still interdependent with each other. And there are ways that we experiment with real estate to create community housing land trust mixed with, I would like to see more cooperative housing with community land trust where you can have market rate housing and affordable housing in the same development.
Like without mixed use.
Yes. Mixed income, mixed community. So it's not this ostracizing of communities and segregation, but really integrated both communally and integrated in ecology, integrated in the local business community.
Yeah, that sounds actually pretty great. I mean, for those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. Excited to be having a conversation with David Todd and WTBR 89.7 FM. We take a lot of pride in bringing you independent water media. So if you really, really love it, give a holler out to WTBR FM and throw them a little water. Water the station that brings you this kind of content. And in the meantime, you want to go to multiple different podcast platforms and be able to subscribe. We also have a Spotify playlist of water songs by the same name, And So It Flows, and give it a heart or save it or whatever they do on Spotify. We're bringing water into the culture straight from the Berkshires. Berkshires is one of the cultural capitals of the world, so super psyched to do it. So David, let's get back to this world of regenerative real estate. You worked with a company called Latitude at one time, and they were actually groundbreakers, to use a kind of a real estate term, in this world of, you know, community level relational real estate.
Yep.
What is it that you do? You have a series of events that you do sometimes, and what are those?
Yeah, big part of, so Latitude is a national organization that I was a part of. I was a partner in for a couple years and still related with them and advise on things with them. And one of the ways that we work in the relational nature of the work is to create the context where we can be in relationship. So create workshops, events, educational conversations, and a gathering where we get to meet in person. Most of the things we do are practitioner to practitioner because it gets really technical. To execute the things I'm describing takes all hands on deck.
What do you mean by practitioner?
It could be anything from an urban planner, architect, civil engineer, landscape designer, contractors, of course, to execute. And then zoning planning boards, all kinds of people who are a part of the pathway to getting a project when you're actually talking about the built form of regenerative real estate.
Sounds like integration.
Absolutely.
Like you're integrating, integrative, integrity. You know, just the way I look at integrity is if you're driving a car, and it's a four wheels, you don't want is three wheels and a brick.
Right.
You want to be able to drive. So integrity is a wholeness. a factor. So if you're sailing a sailboat, for those of you who sail sailboats, which is a water-related activity, you want to make sure your sails do not have rips in them. I mean, if they do, you want to patch them up so you could get somewhere and tighten it up and get somewhere so you could go back and forth. So integration. So what happens at these gatherings?
A lot of it is sharing experiences and experiments, because what we're doing is, it's not like there's a thing on the horizon. We said, there's regenerative real estate over there. Let's go do what that is.
Exactly.
It's like capitalism wasn't an idea and it was just built in a day. It happens through emergence, bringing elements together and seeing, how do we solve in the context of this? How do we bring new life and new level of complexity to this community? So that we're dealing with a lot of complexity, so it takes a lot of elements. And being able to do that, there's no best practice other than experimentation, reflection, because it's not something that can be known. It's not a linear process.
And out of that complexity, you can actually find simplicity. Like, you can actually say, yep, oh, we came up with this new system of developing real estate that is integral, or has integrity, or includes all parts, or whatever you're talking about. You could actually say, this works. We could duplicate it. We could actually do it. So from the complexity comes simplicity. It can.
And I think there's a risk, because in a technological age and a machine age, we think everything can scale and be duplicated and built at scale, where so many things with this are extreme, way beyond that level of complexity. We have humans involved and ecology involved, the most complex things that we understand in our consciousness. So with those things that work in Pittsfield will not necessarily work in Kingston, New York, or may not work in Oakland, California, where there's a model of real estate in Oakland that I'm really fascinated with, called a permanent real estate cooperative. And I'm trying to learn what are the core tenets and the essence of that. So not to duplicate exactly, but what can I learn from that and apply in my community to bring the similar result of access to real estate that doesn't exclude people and actually recirculates, to use a water term, resources back into the community, as opposed to an outside developer developing housing, gaining all the profit, and the community is left with, maybe they survive, maybe it gets maintained, maybe it's left, and 20 years it looks like ish.
Ooh, uh-oh.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah. We self-reporting that one. It actually is part of the game, because, you do have sewage that actually comes in real estate development. So thank you for self-reporting. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We are here at WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. So do groups of people come to you and actually say, hey, we do care about this. We actually do care about how we take care of things, and we are thinking multidimensionally. You're actually thinking of multiple things. We want a community here. Do people come to you for that?
Absolutely. The core of my work is working with people who come and they have some notion of how could my community live with more intentionality, and it be something you can look at and see there's clearly intention in this design. And the lived experience, you see people who are full of delight and joy and connection. You can feel it in the air. There's a spirit of the place. So people want that. They come to us, and there's no technical way. It's always a process of actually creating conditions so people can experience that and come into relationship with the place, with each other. And then that comes into like human dynamics of actually understanding how to have complex relationships, how to disagree well. It gets into a lot of the software. The hardware can be solved, but the software is really where it's at.
Yeah. How about, like, what happens when people come? Do you also consult with them on how to generate a common vision so they actually survive as a group? I'm not calling it a commune, I'm calling it a group, intentional community. Do you provide any consulting in that space as well?
Yes, and it really gets down to that developing each person's emotional and relational intelligence. And that gets into workshop kind of space where just actually having to do it. I can't tell anyone anything. You can't learn a bike by someone just telling you this is how you do it.
Yeah, they have to like get, you know, some communities simply break down because someone moved the yogurt.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, moving the yogurt happens and how we relate to it with emotional intelligence will be, you know, like being responsible for the reactions that you have is a huge positive when people are coming to you that way. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We got a couple more minutes here. What do you think about, let's say people are interested and they want to pick your brain there's someone who is involved in the actual, let's say, industry. How can they contact you? Like, what is it that they could do to do that?
One way is just direct email to me. I'm happy to put that in the show notes, or davidmmtodd@gmail.
davidmmtodd@gmail.
Three M's.
And do you actually, David M. Todd, do you have a website too?
I have multiple websites. My consulting is under aster.co, AESTER.co.
Okay, and that's AESTER.co. And again, David, thanks a lot for joining me here at And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Forgive yourself for that little bit of the, one of the seven
sewage.
Words. Yeah, the sewage stuff. Super psyched to be with you. You're listening to And So It Flows. We got a little bit more music coming your way, and let's see what we got coming up next. We got Water by Brad Paisley. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. Psyched again to be here with you. And So It Flows, straight from the Berkshires around the world, bringing water outside the cup.
Full of dad's hot air. Well, I was 3 years old, splashing everywhere. And so began my love affair with water. On the riverbank, with all my friends, a big old rope tied to a limb. And you're a big old wuss if you don't jump in the water. Yeah, when that summer sun starts to beat down, you don't know what to do. Grab your swimming trunks, ice up that old igloo, and drive until the map turns blue. Daytona Beach, spring break, 18 girls up on stage, white t-shirts about to be sprayed with water. Water. All you really need
this time of year is a pair of shades, an ice cold beer, and a place to sit somewhere near water.
Roll away the dew.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to have been with you again this week. Just keep on sharing your love for water. Share And So It Flows. We'll see you soon. Next week, we got Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Grady. He's going to be talking about the Berkshire County Dive and Search and Rescue Team. Super psyched about that. And be seeing you soon. Love your water.
Sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble. Water, water. In the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.